Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for joining me this week as I continue my conversation with Bob Phelan, President and CEO of TriPoint Insurance. If you missed last week's show, I encourage you to listen to episode 44, as Bob explained performance-based insurance and why it can save companies with strong safety records lots of money on insurance premiums. This week, Bob shares some real-life client stories outlining the savings PBI has provided, and he also explains why it is that most companies don't know about performance-based insurance. And that's where we pick up the conversation.
All the insurance companies are in the PBI game someplace, but they don't want to promote it. And I don't mean this to sound as harsh as it is, because all businesses have to figure out the best way to make money, the best way to create a profit for their shareholders. But it's really about greed and selfishness. Insurance companies and insurance brokers make more money with conventional insurance. It's pure and simple. I won't get into the technicalities of that. It's a clear case of what I call misaligned incentives, where they benefit more than their client benefits. The client wants the premium to go up. The insurance companies and the brokers would prefer the premium to go higher because they make money when it's higher. So their financial incentives lead them to sell their client a more expensive solution. I know that sounds harsh, and I have conventional insurance companies that are my business partners, because you always have to buy some forms of conventional insurance. Performance-based insurance only works for those lines of coverage where there's enough frequency, because you have loss activity, to be able to predict what future premiums should be. Workers' comp falls into that category. Automobile, general liability, there's some activity there. Umbrella liability, where you may never have a claim in the whole history of your company, that's better for conventional insurance. Property insurance, many companies never have property insurance claims, so it's impossible to predict how much they should pay for a future claim. Better for them to be pooled with a large pool and the law of large numbers. So SBI companies, PBI companies, and their brokers, we all have to work together. But most companies will never have heard of this concept.
Okay, so tell me a story about the impact PBI has had on one of your clients that kind of gives us an overview of the whole product here.
Here's my favorite story right now. We just started a relationship with a packaging manufacturer on January 1st of this year. And before we arrived, their current premium spend was about $400,000 US. Based on their historical loss levels, we project they will save $200,000 a year, or 50% of their current spend. It's the safest manufacturing company I've ever seen. They spend $400,000 and their average claims are under $5,000 a year. Truly amazing. They should have been in performance-based insurance a long time ago, but the broker that they had in a long-standing relationship never introduced it to them. We did, and we're the heroes. And hopefully we'll be standing in front of them a few years from now with that check for $200,000.
Yeah. Okay. So safety is one of the keys to being successful. It's like you said, if you don't have the claims, you're going to be successful with a PBI. So let's talk about, some of the things that people can do regarding safety. How does that work?
I'm kind of a zealot about safety, Janet, because I believe that safety and prevention should be a primary cultural principle of every company, certainly every manufacturing company. And it's not just about insurance. It's about every employee's right to a safe workplace, a guarantee that at the end of their shift, they will be in the same physical condition when they started. They'll go home to their families with a smile on their face, not a cast on their arm. The safest workplaces will always have the lowest insurance costs. But it's broader than that. Because as you can imagine, when someone gets hurt, there's a ripple effect. It's not just that insurance cost. It's about the loss of productivity on their work team when they're a man or a woman down. It's the supervisory expenses of getting that person treated and back to work, and all the hassle and the administrative overhead that goes along with that. It's what we call the indirect costs of a workplace injury. Safety consultants will tell you that indirect cost is at least equal to, if not more than, the direct cost. So if a claim that you see on a loss run is $50,000 from an insurance payment standpoint, there's another $50,000 embedded in the P&L of that company for all of the indirect costs that we call the financial leakage of a claim. And it's something that most business owners can't see and don't even know that they're taking that kind of a hit on their P&L. So safety, you know, I just believe it's just a critical element that every company needs to embrace.
So you see safety, it's not as a nice to have, it's something that it has to be within a business and the leader must drive it right from the top down. So how do you get this whole thing started? If you know, say you're listening to this podcast right now and you're like, wow, yeah, like I just got to bring my safety levels up because it's the claims stupid and I can actually improve the cost of my insurance, et cetera. How do you get started as that business leader?
Janet, the biggest single mistake I see, and this is probably maybe the second most important point I'll make on this podcast, is that owners and managers of manufacturing companies think that safety can be delegated. The C-suite doesn't really know how to manage safety a lot of the time. So they hire a safety director and they delegate safety to that safety director. Unfortunately, that safety director doesn't really have the operating authority to make safety happen. None of the operating managers report to the safety director. The safety director doesn't have control over their lives, and there's no incentives built in to those relationships to make it happen. It has to be a cultural imperative from the C-suite that comes from the top, and the C-suite has to reflect that in how they communicate with staff. They have to reinforce it. There has to be a lot of repetition, and they have to commit to safety just as equally or deeply as they commit to quality, productivity, and profitability. And it has to be something that they live and breathe every day.
So I guess if you want to speak to a leader about why they need to do this, there's the insurance side of it, but how do you actually measure the ROI of that safety focus?
You know, it's kind of like the axiom of what gets measured gets done. A safety professional or maybe an insurance professional, they can help you identify both the leading and the lagging indicators which measure safety, and then you hold managers accountable for that. As I said, there's a lot of repetition. Just like anything else, it becomes a core principle of your company. It takes a long time. You can't flip the switch and say we're a safe company. The safest companies have earned the right to identify themselves that way because they've committed to it for years and years and years, just as they have to quality, productivity, and profit. One thing you'll find, and there's a U.S. company called Alcoa, which is the best example of this, where our new CEO came in, and all he did was focus on safety. And it became one of the most profitable companies in U.S. history. And I think you will find in the research that by all financial measures, the safest companies will outperform the unsafe companies every time.
I was, when I read your book, I thought it was really interesting because you talk a lot about safety, taking care of your employees, but you also talk about the benefits of promoting a healthy workforce with eating habits, exercise, and things like that. So, I mean, how does that work? How does that impact the insurance cost and the bottom line?
You know, it's interesting. This manufacturer that I mentioned earlier, this packaging company, their employees actually do stretching and calisthenics before each shift. It's a three-shift manufacturing company. And they've hired a physical therapist that comes in and helps people get ready to perform their job. There's someone else in the industry that has this concept of the workplace athlete. Many of these jobs today in manufacturing, construction, wholesale distribution, healthcare, they're physically demanding jobs. Mm-hmm. You can't just show up, have a sugar-laden donut for breakfast with a Diet Coke, no stretching calisthenics, and go out there and perform at your best, just like an athlete can't perform at their best without physical conditioning and nutrition. So it's the same thing. Certainly not at the same level, but there's a lot of research that proves that concept of getting in shape, staying in shape, stretching, exercising, it'll contribute to a safe workplace.
I want to go back to talking about PBI. What are some of the uncommon types of risks that this insurance product can cover? Because I'm sure there's business owners sitting there going, oh, this sounds really interesting. I wonder if they'll cover that. What else can it cover?
I know you've got a global audience on this podcast, Janet. And unfortunately, on this question, I can only address how it works in the U.S.
Okay.
But in the U.S., our Internal Revenue Service, taxing authority at the federal government level, has created the ability for a business to get a tax deduction for insuring unconventional risks. And in the U.S., for your U.S. listeners, that would include things like OSHA penalties, the loss of a critical operating license, governmental fines, loss of a key person, loss of a key account, reputational risks if your name's in the paper and it has an impact on your business, all these kinds of things. An actuary can determine a premium, and you can set up a specialty captive insurance company to insure them.
Wow. This is, it's a fascinating topic because this is a type of insurance I have never been aware of. And as you said, it's not that common in the United States. A lot of people don't know about it. So I guess with a little bit of knowledge, listeners can go out and start investigating the opportunity to find someone to help supply them with performance-based insurance. Bob, thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome, Janet. It's an exciting concept, and I hope that with the commitment of myself and other PBI advisors around the world, we'll spread the message and the gospel of performance-based insurance so many more manufacturers can enjoy these benefits.
Bob Phelan is the president and CEO of TriPoint Insurance and the author of The Cost of Ignorance. What you don't know about performance-based insurance can save your company millions. If you want to dig deeper into this topic, you can find his book on Amazon. That's our show for this week. You can follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Janet Eastman, and until next time, thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.